Here's a shocking statistic. Nearly half of all black workers in the U.S. make less than $15 an hour. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 11th day of April. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Gas prices are starting to come down, and it's not because of cheaper oil. Another big tech stock split is coming. New Jersey is closer to legalizing recreational pot sales. We'll have that story for you. Starbucks is advertising for a corporate lawyer to battle unions. Meanwhile, McDonald's is closing more locations, and it's having an impact on their bottom line. We've got the Wall Street Report and Etsy sellers strike. We'll share why. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
And as always, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful that you are along for the ride yet again today, learning about the business news of today on your time. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at IOB_NewsHour. We're going to spend some time talking about the reality of making less than $15 an hour. Business Insider had a shocking story about work and pay. Last month, an Oxfam study revealed that 32% of all workers across the U.S. earn less than $15 an hour, which, given a 40-hour work week, is not a livable wage in any major city in the U.S. So, get this, nearly a third of all workers, less than $15 an hour. But it gets worse if you're black and female. Within that amount, 47% of black workers in the U.S. earn less than $15 an hour, the highest of any racial group. And 50% of women of color earn less than $15 an hour, the highest of any demographic. So the question then is, how do you survive? And where does all this come from? Professor Joel Suarez, a labor studies professor at the City University of New York, said the data in this study is not surprising given the U.S.'s history of economy and labor. The historical exclusion of people of color within labor protections going all the way back to Jim Crow laws for African Americans is reflected in the low wages today, he says. This is what he writes, quote, Jim Crow was utterly shaped by the institution of slavery. A lot of the New Deal labor legislation, the Fair Labor Standards Act, the Wagner Act of 1935, it excluded domestic workers and agricultural workers, which is overwhelmingly where African Americans worked, and that is the product of having Americans being concentrated in the South. And then there is this. African American workers in the farming and domestic sectors were left out of the first minimum wage created in 1938. Fast forward to today, black unemployment is currently almost twice what white unemployment rates are. Low wages and high unemployment have now given rise to a resurgence in the labor movement, a trend that we've seen build over the past year. Well, it was a down day on Wall Street as the major indexes all turned south and stayed that way for the entire session. The key word is uncertainty. And it's coming in spades, from inflation to geopolitical tensions. The numbers from today, I'll have those for you shortly. Well, the price of a gallon of gas in the U.S. is starting to come down. The Associated Press is reporting that the average cost of a gallon of regular gas went down to $4.27, marking a 10-cent decrease in the last 2 weeks. However, that's still $1.32 over the average price a year ago, and averages can be misleading. While Tulsa, Oklahoma had been 75 cents under the national average at $3.52, in Los Angeles, it was $1.58 over the national average at $5.85 a gallon. The reason gas prices are trending lower is about less demand. Something we said would be the outcome of historically high prices. People are simply driving less, and that has an impact on price. All of that matches a recent AAA poll that found that $4 a gallon gas was the tipping point for most Americans, 59% of who plan to make lifestyle changes to account for those higher prices. The pain at the pump has been largely attributed to market instability during Russia's war in Ukraine and resulting economic sanctions against Russia by the U.S. and its allies. According to a new ABC News Ipsos poll, 71% of Americans blamed Russian President Vladimir Putin a great deal or a great amount for the gas price increases, while 68% blamed the oil companies. Meanwhile, West Texas Intermediate crude fell today, off by over $3 a barrel. Another tech giant has announced a stock split. Bloomberg is reporting that Canada's Shopify Incorporated became the latest tech giant to announce plans to split its stock in a bid to bring in a higher number of loyal retail investors to its shareholder base. Shopify said it plans for a 10-to-1 stock split for its common stock pending shareholder approval on a June 7th meeting. The proposed share split, according to the company, will, quote, make ownership more accessible to all investors. Recent split proposals from Alphabet, Amazon Incorporated, and Tesla triggered sharp rallies of the stocks as retail traders who tend to favor stocks with high liquidity and lower price jumped in. The thing that is weighing on Shopify is that its stock has lost about 55% of its value this year alone, which is a direct result of less business following the height of the pandemic. Shopify soared above $198 billion in market value during the pandemic as online selling took off, but has given back most of those gains. Today, Shopify closed up by $14.20 to $617.38 a share. Sale of pot for recreational use is a step closer in New Jersey. NBC Philadelphia is reporting that the state commission overseeing cannabis approved 7 current medical pot facilities to expand into recreational sales. The Cannabis Regulatory Commission has signed off on the recreation expansion by the existing medical facilities, but sales will not begin until 3 more hurdles are cleared. Officials said those hurdles could take less than a month, although nobody has any official deadlines. Those remaining hurdles are operational assessment for regulatory compliance, payment of expansion fees, and licenses issued by the Regulatory Commission. The chairwoman of the commission said at the meeting that a concern remains about overcrowding and long lines outside the facilities once recreational sales begin. You know, Howard Schultz rejoined Starbucks as the CEO and promptly set about fighting unionization. Business Insider is reporting that Starbucks said it was looking for a director of corporate counsel for labor with experience in strike contingency planning. The company seems to be ramping up its corporate union management as local stores continue to unionize. On Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported that Frank Britt would become to Starbucks their worker relations specialist. The Labor Council job description adds that it is looking for someone with, quote, demonstrated experience in negotiating collective bargaining agreements, end quote, and working with the National Labor Relations Board. 6 New York locations voted to join the Starbucks Workers Union just last week alone, and the Journal said that over 180 out of 9,000 corporate-owned stores have petitioned to hold union elections. Put that all together, and it looks like the new corporate council about unions is going to be busy. Staying on the restaurant beat for a moment, Eat This, Not That is reporting that since it began franchising its locations in 1955, McDonald's has been a poster child for savvy business and American entrepreneurship. And this year's report on the state of the quick service industry, published by Technomic, shows that America's number one fast food chain continues to shrewdly maneuver the challenges of the ever-shifting industry landscape. Now, at a glance, it may seem like McDonald's has struggled with post-pandemic recovery, considering the chain has closed 239 restaurants in 2021. However, the closures didn't impact its sales growth, but rather boosted it, that according to Restaurant Business. Currently, the average McDonald's location generates $3.4 million in revenue per year, which is among the highest numbers in any fast food. By shrinking its U.S. footprint, the chain was essentially able to increase sales at its remaining locations. Underperforming units, bringing its store averages down like those located in Walmart stores, were the ones that got the axe. Restaurant Business reports in the past 5 years, the chain has lost about 5% of its total locations, but its average sales per restaurant have risen by a whopping 32%. So, more is not always better. It was a rough day on Wall Street as all three major indexes finished the session much lower. The Dow fell by 413 points to end the day at 34,308, while the Nasdaq sank by 299 points to finish the session at 13,411, and the S&P 500 lost 75 points to close at 4412. Investors are spooked by the possibility that a three-year high in the U.S. benchmark interest rate will slow the economy. Meanwhile, the 10-year T-note jumped above 2.79%, a level not seen since January of 2019. Oil prices, like we said earlier, were off by more than $3 a barrel as more oil is being released from strategic reserves and there is less demand due to high fuel costs. Coming up tomorrow is the Consumer Price Index, and yes, all eyes will focus on what is expected to be another significant increase. And finally, there is this. Etsy's 30% transaction fee hike goes into effect today, and thousands of sellers have closed their shops and gone on strike in response. The e-commerce platform said the 6.5% fee, up from 5%, will pay for things like better customer support and marketing efforts for sellers. But some small business owners say the fee increase will hurt their sales and force them to pass the cost on to consumers. Others say rising costs are inevitable, even as more than 49,000 Etsy sellers and buyers petition against the increase. Etsy's transaction fee was once as low as 3.5% before a 2018 fee increase bumped it to 5%. Now, 6.5%. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.